We welcome you once again to Words of Truth. Today we want to continue our discussion of the subject, Christ's coming and the 1,000-year reign. There is much confusion and misrepresentation of truth on this subject. Millennialists or premillennialists tell us that the Lord came to earth the first time to establish his kingdom. But because the Jews rejected Christ, he postponed the establishment of the kingdom and established the church as a substitute. My friends, can you imagine any man or group of men, mortals of earth, defeating the purpose of God to the extent that God had to change his plans and try it all over again at some future date when Christ comes back the second time? Let me ask you, if God changed his mind and his plans the first time because the Jews rejected him and postponed the establishment of his kingdom, what assurance is there that the Jews might not reject him the second time? If they reject him again, would God change his mind and postpone the kingdom? Oh, such foolish ideas! No man has ever or shall ever defeat the divine purpose of God. The Church of our Lord was not an accident, but was established according to the eternal purpose of God. Read, if you will, Ephesians 3:10-11. Ephesians 3:10-11 with us. Furthermore, the church is the kingdom of Christ, and there is no remote possibility of a future kingdom on earth. Notice, if you will, these verses. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 3:10-11. The church or kingdom was established on the first Pentecost following the resurrection of Christ, the record of which we find in chapter 2 of the book of Acts. Since that eventful day, Christ has been reigning on the throne of David as the king of his kingdom and the head of the church. He's been given head over all things to the church. We've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son, Colossians 1 and verse 18. The book of Acts declares that the church was established on the day of Pentecost. The church of Christ is the kingdom of Christ. Jesus told Peter, listen carefully, Matthew 16:18-19. Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. He did not say our churches. He didn't even use the plural word. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 16:18-19. The church is blood bought. Acts 20 and verse 28. It is purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of Christ is blood bought according to Revelation 9 verses 5 and 6. Therefore, the church of Christ is the kingdom of Christ. If the kingdom of Christ is not in existence today, there isn't a child of God on earth today. For to be a child of God is to have been born again. To be born again is to be in the kingdom. John 3 and verse 5. We're born of the water and spirit. And unless we do that and are born of the water and spirit, we cannot enter into the kingdom of God. To be delivered from the power of darkness is to be translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Colossians 1 and verse 13. Christ will not come the second time to establish his kingdom because his kingdom, listen, is already established. Rather, when our Lord returns, Then cometh the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. But still, someone inquires, what is the hope of salvation for the Jews if they are not going to be restored to Palestine and saved at the Lord's second coming? Let us observe the basic fallacy of the presumptuous theory. The millennialists tell us that the Jewish nation must be converted and restored instantly with the Lord's return. Then, if that be true, and the Lord's return is immediate, it would mean a miraculous transportation of a nation instantly to the land of Palestine. Such absurd claims would completely nullify the gospel plan of salvation which Jesus gave to the world as the power of God unto salvation both to the Jews and Gentiles. Romans 1 and verse 16. Read it carefully. Such a phenomenal transportation of an entire race of people, a nation of Jews, from all parts of the world, across the seas, separating continents of the earth, would indeed be a miracle that would make the ancient crossing of the Red Sea, recorded in the Old Testament, look like the crossing of a mud puddle in the middle of the road. Beloved, how can people be so mixed up in their thinking? Now, to the question, what about the salvation of the Jews? What about it? My friends, the principles and conditions governing the salvation of the Jews are very specific and understandable. The conversion of Israel is subject to the Great Commission of our Lord recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Great Commission, which our Lord gave, is for all nations, and then baptizing them, as recorded in Mark 16 and verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Furthermore, Luke records in Luke 24, verses 46 and 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, the city of Jerusalem is a very prominent place, and that's where the church began on the day of Pentecost, as prophesied in Old Testament scriptures. Jesus said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You will find that the gospel was preached to the Jews first, beginning at Jerusalem. About 3,000 of them obeyed the gospel of Christ on that day, that is, the day of Pentecost, by repenting and being baptized for the remission of their sins. My dear friends, read it carefully. They were saved, and the Lord added them, notice, to his church and made them citizens of his kingdom. Acts 2 and verse 47. My friends, that is the hope of salvation for the Jews. It is the holy hope, whether Jews or Gentiles. Just as Jesus declared, the gospel plan of salvation is for all nations, the Jews not excepted. In Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 37, the Great Commission imposing the conditions of salvation was definitely applicable to the Jews. The Apostle Peter makes plain, positive statements to that effect. He declared that God is no respecter of persons, that all in every nation are acceptable subjects of the gospel of Christ. He that feareth God, notice in the text. In the 11th chapter of the Acts, he took time and effort to convince his Jewish brethren that God makes no difference in nations whether the matter of salvation, when the matter of salvation is at hand. In Acts 15:9, it is clearly and positively affirmed that there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile in God's sight, and the same terms of salvation are offered to both Jew and Gentile alike, now, in the future, and for all time. The Great Commission of our Lord Jesus Christ ends with this age in which we are living, the Christian dispensation. If the Jews do not accept the gospel of Christ in this dispensation, there are no provisions for them or anyone else in another age. This is the last. Perhaps someone is thinking that Paul, in the 11th chapter of Romans, declared that all Israel will be saved someday when the Lord returns. Paul does not even remotely suggest the idea of the salvation of the Jews at the Lord's return. Let us read the verse, Romans 11 and verse 26. The verse says, "And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." The expression, "And so all Israel shall be saved," seemed to give many people much trouble, but there is nothing difficult about this passage of Scripture. Look at it for a moment. The word "so" in this verse is an adverb of manner, not an adverb of time. So all Israel shall be saved. So in this manner, all Israel shall be saved, like the remnant shall be saved. In other words, all Jews will be saved like the part or remnant that is already saved. Romans 11, verse 26, therefore, is not a promise of universal salvation for Jews or national restoration of Israel, but is a declaration of the conditions upon which all alike, should be saved. The Jews who are saved to be saved today are to be saved like those in New Testament times. All Jews and Gentiles, too, will be saved alike in the same manner. So, Paul declared, all Israel shall be saved, and in no other way. It is the same salvation to all, on the same terms, in the same manner. So, all Israel shall be saved. My dear friends, the question arises. Very carefully consider. How does one become a Christian? The Bible very plainly and very definitely teaches us, without any hesitation, we study it and we accept it because it is the Word of God. Not just because I believe it, but because it is true. It is the Word of God. What must one do in order to be saved? One must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do all people believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Absolutely not. So then, in order to become one of God's children, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then, because of that belief or faith in the Scriptures, we repent of our sins. We change our mind and our heart and go then in the right direction. And then we acknowledge with our mouth what we believe in the heart, and that is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we're willing to acknowledge that publicly. And then finally, all those on the day of Pentecost were saved in exactly the same way throughout the book of Acts. So then, one must be baptized, immersed in water, to have his sins washed away by the precious blood of Jesus, arising to walk in newness of life. Acts 2, verse 38, and Romans 6, 1 through 7. Have you obeyed the gospel? If not, do so today. We'll be happy to assist you in your obedience to Jesus the Christ before it is eternally too late. My dear friends, we'll be happy to assist you in that. Why not worship with us today at 9:30 for Bible study and at 10:25 as we study more of God's Word? We also meet on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and again, there is a study of God's Word. We search the Scriptures together. And then we meet for midweek Bible study on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, and we hope that you'll come and take advantage of all these learning experiences as we search the Scriptures together. Until next week, as once again we present Words of Truth, we bid you a good day.